Reading from Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter 14 and 15. So I'll read actually 14 as a short purport, which I'll mention. I'll speak something about in the 15th verse. So I'll just read 14 first and then 15. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. The purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Gargamuni indirectly disclosed that this child was originally born as the son of Vasudeva. Although he is acting as your child, generally he is your child, but sometimes he is the son of Vasudeva. Now the main verse 15, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Bhuvani, the Lord, has many names. Avetam, Achutam, Adim, Rupam, Adhyam, Parana, Purusham, Neva, Navayaram, Cha, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:33, the Lord is one. But he has many forms and many names. It is not that because Gargamuni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He has other names, such as Bhakti Vasalya, Giridhari, Govinda, and Gopal. If we analyze the Nuriti or Semitic derivation of the word Krishna, we find that Na signifies that he stops the representation of birth and death, and Krish means Saharata or existence. In brackets, Krishna is the whole of existence. Also, Krish means attraction, and Na means Ananda or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda because he wants to give everyone spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, because of the living entities' little independence, the living entity wants to deprogram the program of Krishna. This is the material disease. Nevertheless, because Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to living entities, he appears in various forms. Therefore, he is called Krishna. Because Gargamuni was an astrologer, he knew what others did not know. Yet, Krishna has many names that even Gargamuni did not know all of them, or them all. It is also to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transactivities, has many names and many forms. Om Gyan Randa Sya Ganasa Gaya Dasa Chumir Tasma Shri Guru Mahaba Chusamila Om Kurinda Maharaj Kijai. So we can see in this purport, Krishna has many names. But also, in the commentary, by Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, and we know from the Bhagavan, from the early earlier cantos, Krishna doesn't just appear in a human form. He appears in animal form. And also, of course, he appears in half human form and half animal form, as in Lord Narasingadev. And of course, he appears as Matsya, Kurma, Harigriva, and so on like that. So many forms he appears. So these forms, Krishna appears in these forms to, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, I appear to, or to annihilate the demons and save the devotees. So according to the, as you could say, time, place, and circumstance, Krishna takes a form according to that place, and to annihilate that demon, and to save the devotees. But in this appearance, in this Vrindavan, in the tenth canto, Krishna has four special qualities that the other incarnate appearances that they don't fully have. So they are guna madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya. Krishna, in this appearance, has sweet qualities, his sweet flute playing, his sweet Leela, and anyway, they're all, these four qualities are all sweet. They don't appear fully in the other appearances, as in the previous appearances. So, in the previous purport, it says at the end, Prabhupada writes, but sometimes he is the son of Vasudeva. Now, in Vrindavan, we know that Krishna kills the demons that are sent by Kamsa. Now, in one of his purports in the Sri Chaitanya-charitamrita, Prabhupada writes that it's actually Vasudeva Krishna that kills the demons. This Vajanandam Braj Krishna, he doesn't kill the demons. It's Vasudeva Krishna, he kills the demons. Because Krishna has this sporting leela. He wants to fight. Yes, it's so then Krishna wants to fight. So then he manifests, so you could say, the Vasudeva Krishna form to kill the demons. But the form that we know as in Vrindavan, who has this relationship with Krishna, either five primary rasas, and so then, accordingly, Krishna acts accordingly to each relationship, and of course, then Krishna, he acts in a way that he actually reciprocates with each of those devotees or residents of Vrindavan individually and in each of the five primary rasas. So, of course, he relates because they love Krishna in all different ways. Some may love Krishna as a friend. Some may love Krishna as in parental mood. Some may love and as a lover. So, of course, this is, and of course, the prime reason for this, that all these residents of Vrindavan we know about, we read about, they all got Braja Prem, and which leads to Radha Prem. Now, we all know that Radha Prem belongs, of course, to Radharani. But we have to understand why Radharani has this relationship with Krishna, which on that level, as we know, there are two primary gopis, Chandravali and Radharani. Now, they both have prema. They both have love for Krishna. But out of the two, the love for Radharani is the highest. Because the love of Chandravali is known as greater sneha, means, now some acharyas say ghee, or some say butter. And sneha means affection. So Chandravali's prema is on the level of ghee or butter affection. But Radharani's is madhu sneha, which is compared to honey, which is very sweet. So in the fire of separation, the Vihaha, fire separation, we know if we put ghee or butter next to fire or heat, that the butter or ghee will melt. But if you heat up honey for so long, it turns black and becomes poisonous. So therefore, the madhu sneha, the honey affection that Radharani has, is like poison to her, because she cannot always see Krishna. And Chandravali's greater sneha, Chandravali, she says, I belong to Krishna. But Radharani says, Krishna is mine. She says, Krishna is mine. But Chandravali says, I belong to Krishna. So therefore, the prema of Radharani is greater than the prema than Chandravali's. Even though Chandravali's love is there, his prema is there. Just like there's different a woman in Mathura. Yeah, Kuja. She had prema. But her prema was different also. So then, because of that, the prema that Radharani has, since Krishna is mine, then Krishna feels indebted, but he cannot pay the debt back. So to pay the debt back, he has to come as Lord Caitanya to pay the debt back in the mood of Radharani and the complexion of Radharani. Now, there's no difference between Lord Caitanya and Krishna. Gaura Leela is Krishna Leela, and Krishna Leela is Gaura Leela. There's no difference in Vrindavan, no difference. Now, it's, remember rightly, where is it? Let's see it somewhere. Can find it. In the Navadvip Mandal Parakram, there is a little book, and it's describing the prayers we should pray, or the devotees that should go on the Parakram. And it says in there that all the forests of Vrindavan are in Navadvip. Now, yesterday I was reading the Navadvip Bhavataranga, which is a book about Bhagavan Thakur. He's in his house in Godrumadvip. And he's in full samadhi, and in full samadhi, he's in parakram, and he's visiting all the holy places of pilgrimage from his house in Godrumadvip. And in the book, he describes the 12 forests of Vrindavan are there. And one of them is Sri Puliya. He says, Sri Puliya, this is where Vrindavan is in Navadvip Dham. And this is where Radharani and Krishna perform Rasa Leela there. And then he reveals his eternal Sarup, eternal as Kamala Manjari, who's under Anga Manjari, and Anga Manjari is under Lalita Sakhi. And then Lalita Sakhi introduces Kalamanjari to Radharani. And so then, but there is some slight difference, there is one difference, that in Vrindavan there are two. There are two separate, Radha and Krishna are separate. But in Navadvip Dham, there's only one. Radha and Krishna become one in the form of Lord Caitanya. And one form, one half, is poison, which is the the mood of Radharani in the Madhusneha, the poison, the honey, which she's facing. And then there's the other half, which is the union. But the main mood, if Mayapur Dham, is actually separation in Mahaprabhu's mood, Radharani's mood. Now, as Mahaprabhu, we know he came to give the holy name, the Yuga Dharma. So, the acharyas explain that to really get the full, say, benefit of chanting the holy name, we have to feel separation from Krishna. We have to feel separation. And this is the internal reason for Lord Caitanya's appearance, because he wanted to feel why Radharani had so much love for him and so much love for Krishna. So therefore, Krishna couldn't understand this. So therefore, you want to understand this and why she was feeling so much separation from him as the result of that love. So therefore, he came as Lord Caitanya to experience this. So, and once we understand, and if we understand the internal reasons for Lord Caitanya's appearance, then we will really understand the reason, then we will understand the external reason, because the two are interactive together. No. Because the other day, I was listening to a lecture the speaker, Vainraprabhu, was saying there are two types of devotees. There's the external devotees and there's the internal devotees. And the external devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, but they don't really get the fruit or the result of their chanting. It's the internal devotees that generally get the fruit or the result of their chanting. And then he said the purpose of this movement for us is actually to understand. First of all, we have to understand Mahaprabhu's internal mood. Then we can understand the external mood. Then he said, because of this, both are interactive together and they can't be separated. So then, because Mahaprabhu was feeling separation from Krishna in the mood of Radharani, the acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, he says that the sadhakas, they should come to the level or come to Purvarag. Now, we know Vipalamba, Bhav, or separation, there are four divisions or there's Purvarag, Mam, Man, Prema Velasya, Prema Vajritra, and Pravas. So, being Purvarag is where it means where one is so desperate, in desperation for Krishna to come, that person is crying for Krishna, crying in the heart for Krishna to come. A man, mam, is the transcendental anger that Radharani feels externally, but internally, at the same time, she's feeling separation. And of course, Prema Vritra is the highest, is where, even though Krishna is very near, in fact, so near that she's still feeling the separation. And pravas means Krishna is far off, in some far off place, and she's feeling separation. So as sadhakas, we should come feeling the separation, at least come to the level of purvarag. The Bhagavad Gita Swami Thakur, he says this. Now, so desperate for Krishna that we're actually crying. Now, Mahaprabhu, he came as Nimai Pandit, as we know, as Nimai, and he set up a school, as he was a teacher before he took sannyas. And actually, he resigned as a teacher. He stopped teaching. When he said one day, he said, "Gopi, Gopi, Gopi," and his students couldn't quite understand what they couldn't understand why he was saying this. So then he stopped teaching. And then later, he, as we know, he left Navadvipa Dharma and took sannyas and resided in Jagannath Puri and travelled around India. So then, Krishna, as Lord Caitanya, he's showing us by personal example that Mahaprabhu actually, he opened up a crying school. Now, if we want to learn how to cry for Krishna, we have to join Mahaprabhu's crying school. We have to enroll in Mahaprabhu's crying school from the heart. Not externally crying, not crocodile tears, no. But you know, anybody can do that. Because somebody was telling me that they, when I was in Mumbai one time, at Juhu, September, I was speaking to one devotee there, and he works in the film studios. And he's saying, "Oh, these actresses and actors, when it comes to a crying scene, they put an onion under their eyes for 5 minutes before they start go on scene to make them cry." So we can't do that. We shouldn't put an onion under our noses to make us cry, no. It's true, as I said. So therefore, but we have to cry from the heart to get, and then once we cry from the heart, Lord Caitanya, Krishna, will actually recognize that this devotee, he wants me. She wants me. So I will come. I will come to that devotee. And then, and then I will come and reside in his heart. And then he can chant the holy name without offense. Because the purpose of this movement is, as we all know, is to come to the level to preach to the conditioned souls. Now, of course, now is the book marathon month. So, the purpose of the books, Prabhupada's books, are to attract people to Krishna. And to attract people to the beauty of Krishna, not to the beauty of the, or the so-called beauty of the material world. And by giving them Prabhupada's books, we can actually attract them, hopefully, to come here and see the beautiful form, the beautiful forms of Radha, Gokulanda, Sri Hanumana, and Gonitai. And then once they see the beautiful forms of Krishna, or Ram, or Gonitai, according to who one's attracted to the most, then they will come back, and then the seed of devotional service will be sown by the spiritual master, by spiritual master, by Balaram in the form of his spiritual master. Because Balaram, the plow indicates that he's plowing the field. So once he plows the field, then he sows the seed afterwards. As we see in India, when I've seen so many times, when in Bengal, you see these farmers, they're ploughing the field to sow the rice, to put the rice in the fields. But first, they use the oxen to plough the field, and then they put the seedling rice in first, and then afterwards. So then the spiritual master, first he ploughs the field of the heart, and then he sows the seed. And then by the careful watering, then that fruit, what is being sown will grow properly and show its fruit nicely. So then those living entities won't have to. Then they can come and chant Hare Krishna, and then go back home, back to Godhead. And it's like the other day, I was in the temple room at the back, sitting there and chanting some rounds, and a group of old, let's say, I don't like using old age pensioners, but I call them mature people nowadays. Anyway, a group of old age pensioners came in. And it's about six of them. It's about 10:30. And it was the first time they came here, because they were just driving by. So they saw the man on the map. So they're driving by. So they thought they'd pop in and have a look. So they came in. And the first thing they said, the first words they said was, "Wow!" When they got darshan of the darshan here, all of them just said one word, "Wow!" That was it. They said, "Wow, how beautiful!" And they just couldn't believe it. He said, "It's unbelievable." And then one of the young girls from the ashram spoke to them and took them around the temple. So this is the purpose of this movement, to show the beauty of Krishna, so we can attract them from the material illusory energy into the eternal spiritual energy of Krishna's beauty. So I'll stop there.